especially in Acts chapter 2, one of the beautiful things and an open secret of the early church, when we read Acts chapter 2 from verse 42, turn your Bibles with us tonight, Acts chapter 2 from verse 42, or maybe we should start from verse 41. Pastor Tola, we're going to have a wonderful discussion tonight, and I need your input because it seems like this is your area of specialization, one of your areas. We are going to talk politics tonight. I'm not saying he likes politics, but he seems to be very learned. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So don't go too far, sir. Don't do a run on me now. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Let's read together the New King James Version. Okay, if you don't have the New King James Version, just look at the screen and let's declare together. We're going to read from verse 42 to verse 47, and then we're going to do what is in that scripture tonight together. One to go, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And verse 47 is where we stop, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That is church, brethren. And that is the church that we are part of. We're talking about church. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about not some church denomination. We're not talking about a set of rules, do's, don'ts. We're talking about life. This was life. The church was alive. This church was breaking bread. Bread is also symbolic of life. This church was sharing their worldly goods. This church was seen to every need. This church, people were coming. People were getting saved. They heard the word. They were getting saved. They were getting baptized. And they were continually praising God. They went from house to house, breaking bread. Anyone in that church lacked nothing. Please, I want to also, once again, I think I forgot to announce last Sunday, but I think I announced the previous Thursday. I really want to appreciate every one of us for demonstrating what church really is. I came here, I stood here, is it two Sundays ago, and I did make a clarion call. A family in our midst is in need. Let us raise at least £150. And to the glory of God, you all, to the glory of God, you raised 200 and maybe 12 pounds, 50 pence for that family in our midst. That is what we call church. Please clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Nobody in our midst lacks anything. There is so much power. I'm telling you, so much power when we are united, when we come together for a common purpose, to see one another grow, one another saved, to see one another prosper. That is all we care about. That is our identity. The Lord is our banner. His name is Jehovah. The Bible says his banner over us is what? Love. So let us keep loving, not just in word, but through our action. And verse 41 says, those who believed were baptized. I want to celebrate also some people who have been baptized recently in our midst. It's such a very, very, very great honor for me personally to stand, preach the gospel, and win my own family. To the glory of God, we had how many people baptized? I think 5 people were baptized. Please, can all the Baptists stand up? Yeah. I had the privilege of baptizing my own 2 biological sons, Noah, Joshua, Inkem, and Joshua, and Tomisi, who's behind the camera there. Are you behind the camera or beside the camera? Please, let's celebrate these people. Please stretch your hands towards them. Stretch your hands towards them. That the power of God, the same way the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus, and Jesus began to fulfill his earthly ministry, his earthly walk, the same Spirit will come upon them, dwell within them, and they will go higher and higher. As they believe, they will not become unbelievers. They will demonstrate their belief. They will speak with authority. They will lay hands on the sick. The sick will recover. They will fulfill everything God created them to fulfill in life. To his glory and to his praise, they will keep on going about like Jesus. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good. So shall these ones go. They shall go about doing good, healing. They will bring healing. They will bring deliverance. Everywhere they go, we will continually hear of great and wonderful testimonies. We cover you with the blood of Jesus. Your testimony will not fail. Your testimony and walk in Christ Jesus will be sealed, and you will glorify him all the days of your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Please celebrate them again. Congratulations. Amen. Acts chapter 23 is where we're studying tonight. We stopped in Acts chapter 22. Let me tell us the best way to study, understand, so that we can do. We study to understand in order to do. The Bible is study the Bible in books. Study the Bible in chapters, in verses, line by line. That is the way you will understand clearly the Bible story. That is the way you will understand what God is saying, so that we don't lift scriptures in isolation and give it our own private interpretation. That is why there's a lot of error in the teaching of the word, because someone will take a verse and give it any color, give it any interpretation, make a revelation and build a doctrine, and then it becomes a problem, because somebody else will take the same scripture, give it their own doctrine, give it their own interpretation, and then you start having nothing but confusion. I had the privilege of going to Bible college, and I learned 2 words in Bible college. I hope I remember the second. But yeah, I remember the second now. One is called insegesis or something like that. And the other one is exegesis, right? Insegesis is simply you lifting a scripture in the Bible and saying what the Bible did not say, what that verse did not say. You just lifted it and gave it your own interpretation. You gave it your own narrative. But exegesis is when you actually say what the Word of God is saying in its context, in the story, in the circumstances. You look at every circumstance when that scripture was written, in what context, in what culture, and that way you have a full and better understanding. And then you can see how it is applicable to your own private life. Brethren, the Bible says we should study to show ourselves approved unto man. No, it's not to impress anybody. Study to show yourself approved unto God. It says a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have a better and clearer understanding. You don't just hear the word, give it your own interpretation, and then you end up in confusion. It is very, very sad a question that somebody asked last week, that it's rampant now. It seems like believers, especially leaders, are falling away from the faith. Leaders are denying the faith and saying they're not even stepping down from the ministry and even saying they don't believe in Jesus anymore. It's very sad. Very, very, very sad. But those are one of the signs of the last days. I will tell us, if anything at all, please guard your own heart, guard your own faith, know God for yourself. The Bible says it's the people that do know the Lord, their God, that will be strong and exploits and do exploits. I had a very sad story again today of a mega church pastor. I don't know how many of us know September 10. September 10 in the world is celebrated something about suicide. No suicide day or something like that. End suicide or something. And I heard just this evening of a church pastor, mega pastor, who committed suicide on that day, September 10, 2 days ago. Very sad. Very, very sad. He just ended his own life. He was tired. Ended his own life. Brethren, we shouldn't get to that point. Because sadly, some people can look at such a person and say, you know what? Since the pastor did it, what's stopping me? Excuse me. The pastor will stand in judgment before God. So will you. Every man will give account of himself. Let's just know the God that is our Father and know him for ourselves. That is how we will be strong and unshakable in this time and season we live in. All right, so we stopped in Acts chapter 22. The story we're reading was the story of Paul. We titled the last study, Do You Know Your Legal Rights as a Citizen? What happened there? Let me just recount to us. What happened there was that Paul was arrested, of course, for preaching the gospel. And all of a sudden, they began to tear his clothes off, and they were going to beat him. So the commander, who was in charge of those who arrested him, said they should beat him up. And the Bible tells us that Paul, in verse 28, Acts 22, as they were binding him, tying him up so that they could beat him, Paul said to that centurion, to the commander who was commanding him to be beaten, and he simply said to that centurion, is it lawful for you to beat a man, to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? Simple question. He quoted the law. Is it lawful? Please note this, and I mean this not in any, not trying to be funny. What Paul quoted here was the law, not the Bible. He quoted the law to the commander, asking the commander, is it lawful that you just beat a man, the man is not yet condemned, and on top of, the man is a Roman. And what happened was, when the centurion heard that, the Bible said, he went and told his commander, and right there and then they realized that under law, legally, they should not touch him, because he was a Roman and he was uncondemned. And when they went back and forth, they could not touch him because he quoted the law. We are not saying don't quote the Bible, but the Bible says, even Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. There are times that we can get too spiritual. We don't know the law, we don't know our rights, and we get cheated. We know the Bible, we know what the Bible says, but we don't know what the law says. So we get cheated. We are busy being spiritual. The children of this world are wiser because they know the law, and they throw the law at your face. Oh, have I been cheated in my life? You need to hear stories. Please don't be too spiritual that you don't know your legal rights as a citizen or as a resident, the law is there actually not to work against you, but to work for you, to protect us. So it is very good for us not to be ignorant. So that was how Paul saved himself. He was able to quote the law because he knew the law. So we asked ourselves and challenged ourselves the last time. Do we know the laws, some basic laws in this country? Do we? Big question. It is very important that you know your legal rights. You can know the Bible all you want. If they charge you to court tomorrow, it's not the Bible you are going to quote. It is the law. Give to Caesar. What is Caesar's? Because that's what Caesar understands. And give to God what is God's. Are we saying that the Bible, the Word of God, will not deliver us? Listen, you need to understand that the Word of God tells us, especially, let's go to Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. The Word of God tells us that there are laws and says that let every soul be subject to what? Governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Have you read the Bible before where the Bible says that it is God who raises up a leader and pulls down another? Leaders don't just emerge without God having a little indirect hand in leaders emerging. For example, if a nation is wallowing in sin and everybody has forgotten God, what kind of leadership do you think that nation will have? They will have evil leadership because they have forsaken God. So God withdraws and they begin to wallow in evil. But let one righteous man stand up in that nation and begin to pray, because we're going to see something tonight, right? So there are laws, there are authorities. Let us recognize that some of these laws, it's not outside of God. If we now start having evil laws being enacted, it's because righteous men and women did not pray. They didn't act. That's what we want to see tonight. All right, let's go to verse 1, Acts 23, verse 1 to 5. That's our study tonight. And we will just look at some things. Do we have microphones? Just please, especially give us, pastor at the back there, give him a permanent microphone because we will need him tonight. Acts 23, verse 1 to 5. We are moving on and we will title this tonight, Do You Know the Law? This is part 2. But we want to focus now on leaders and leadership. The subject of leaders and leadership. Okay, how did we come about that? Acts 23, I read from verse 1 to 5. That is our study. Please grab your Bible and read with me. Acts 23, from verse 1 to 5. The Bible says, Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, Paul delivered himself by quoting the law, so they couldn't beat him anymore. So they dragged him now to the council, the Sanhedrin, the highest ruling body, because those guys couldn't touch him because he quoted the law. So they brought him. It's like, you know, they charge you to court. What's the smallest court? I don't know. Any lawyers in the house? There's, they call it, it's a magistrate court. Okay, please help me. The smallest court is, let's see how much of law you know. Yeah, the least law is Crown, County Court, and then from the County Court, they can take you to a higher court. All right, please somebody Google. There's Google. There's Google in the house. It's a Bible study. Any lawyers, where's Comfort? No Comfort. Where's Comfort? Are you not your sister's keeper? Any lawyers in the house, please Google. Margaret, Google. Don't worry. Just Google. This is not a test. I'm saying this so that we will stop being ignorant. Sir, you can join this table. Yeah, it's a round table conference. Everybody should sit around the table, please. Okay. Please, Google, who's found it? Just show us the different stratas of the court system, the justice system, especially in this country. The least court, Then if you appeal, you go to a higher one, and then you go to the higher one, and then you go to the higher one. I know in the country, they call it the Supreme Court. When you get to the highest court, the Supreme Court of the land, whatever they now decide there is final. But then I found out that after the Supreme Court, you can go to another higher court if that country belongs to a committee of nations. Yeah. It depends on the crime. You know, if you keep appealing, they give you a judgment. Have you found it? Please speak into the mic so that the people at watching us online too can hear. Please give him a microphone. Have you found it? Are you sure you found it? Please give us correct information. We don't want to be misinformed. Okay? So they brought Paul now to the highest council to decide his fate. Okay. Yes, go on.
I'm quoting courts and tribunals judiciary. That's an article there.
Okay,
it says different type of case are dealt with in certain courts. For example, all criminal cases will start in the magistrate court.
Okay.
But more serious criminal matters are committed or sent to the Crown Court.
Okay. And then after the Crown Court, if the person
appeals
wants to appeal,
appeals from the Crown Court goes to the High Court.
To the High Court.
And potentially to the Court of Appeal.
And then Court of Appeal.
Or even the Supreme Court.
Or even the Supreme Court.
Civil cases will sometimes be dealt with magistrate by the magistrate.
Yep.
But may well go to the County Court.
Okay.
Again, appeals will go to the High Court.
Right.
And then the Court of Appeal. Although to different divisions of those courts.
Okay, so there are different levels. Depending on the severity of the offense, that's where you will start from.
Yeah.
Civil cases go to magistrate courts.
Magistrates.
And criminal cases go to?
Magistrates as well, but more serious ones start from a Crown Court.
From the Crown Court.
Yeah.
I hope you gave us the right information.
It's from courts and tribunals.
Okay.
Tribunals judiciary article, please.
Okay, thank you for quoting it.
Thank you.
He has a PhD. That's why he can quote. All right, don't quote him. He told you where he got it from. You have the same Google. All right, let's go on. So they brought Paul to the council, and then Paul began to make his case. He said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And then look at the next thing that happened. And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him by the mouth. In other words, to give him a slap. Pah! Let me tell you something, a joke. I saw something, and they said that a man, a scientist in one country, discovered how to conduct a brain surgery for someone whose head is having problems. You know, the brain, the internal is having issues. So they do brain surgery to make the person start thinking right. And then somebody now replied, no, they discovered a surgery. Say, you don't need to do a surgery. My mother will do a better surgery. By the time she slaps you, the brain will reset. Anyway, that's free of charge. I give you that free of charge. All right, so the Ananias high priest says, slap this guy. Strike him in the mouth. Now look at Paul. What did Paul say? Please, what did Paul say? Paul said to him, God will strike you. You whitewashed wall. For you sit to judge me according to the law. And do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? Remember, Paul was a lawyer, so he knew the law. And then those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? In other words, what kind of disrespect? God's high priest. Listen, there's a conflict going on here. There's a conflict. I don't know if you've spotted the conflict, but let's read on. Verse 5 now said, then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. It is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. High priest commands, slap Paul. Paul speaks back, talks back to the high priest, and quotes the law. How dare you tell someone to slap me contrary to what the law says? God will strike you. You brought God into the picture. You know how many of us have broken the law before? And then you bring God into the picture. I know a friend. Every time he always runs foul of the law. And they kept arresting him. They gave him police caution. They warned him. They caught him again. He became so notorious that he was now a particular policeman who was always catching him. Now, do you know his offense? He was driving without a proper driver's license. Driving, right, in the UK without a proper UK license. So, after some numerous arrests by the same police officer, so one day he told me, he was so angry. He told the policeman, I'm a man of God. Don't you know who I am? You must be racist. You are racist. You are racist. You are arresting me because I'm blue. Because I'm black. You all say, I hope you're not breaking any law. Let's talk to ourselves. God is restoring gold into the temple. I hope you are not breaking any law and bringing God into the equation. Because God says in his word, let every soul be subject to a higher power, authority. There are authorities, there are laws. Some years ago, I broke the traffic rule in this country. Twice, I drove and broke the speed limit. First time, 30 miles per hour road, and I went up to around almost 40 on 30. What is as if you've not done it before. Just joking. Second time, I drove the car again, and the car accelerated. By hook or by crook. The car accelerated to about 42 or 43 miles per hour on a 30 mph road. Bling, bling, pum. Traffic camera caught me. Two different places. Letter comes through the box. You know, these letters are automated. Self-generated. And it comes from the police. Her Majesty's police. They gave me the date. They gave me the time. They gave me the number of the car. They said, I owned this car. They just want me to tell them who drove the car. They are not assuming I drove it. So, well, the first one, I knew it was just a fine. So I sent it back that I drove it. So I was fined. I can't remember how much then. This was 2005. How many years ago? 12 years ago. 14. Wow, I'm old. 2 weeks after, another letter comes through the letterbox. Automated. So-so date, you drove. Sorry, you didn't drive. The car that you own was seen on Egbert Road, 30 miles per hour, and it was going about 43 miles per hour. Just tell us who drove the car so that we can communicate, so I can fellowship, you know, with the person. All right. At that point in time, the law dawned on me. what the law meant was that my license was going to be revoked because I had breached having two speed limits within a certain period of time. Because my license then, I just changed my license to a UK license. So I had 2 years that I shouldn't commit any traffic, serious traffic offense. So the law dawned on me. So they asked, who drove the car? Just tell us who drove the car. I went to God, I prayed. I ran for counseling from a senior pastor. You know, there are pastors and there are pastors, huh? I was thinking the pastor would tell me, just kneel down, let's trust God for, let's bind the police, bind the camera, smash the camera, ask thunder, fire to blow everything, wipe off their records. The pastor told me, brother, your license is going to be revoked. He prophesied. You know why? Because his own license had been revoked too. Because he too broke the law. He said, you did it twice. He said, I did mine about 4 or 5 times. I knew the game was up. So I went and I mentioned it to a friend who is not a believer. And he told me, what's your problem? Come on, does your wife have a license, even if it's provisional? I said, yes. Is she a name driver on the car? I said, yes. He said, come on, they don't know who drove it. They're only asking you, give us a name. Give us a named driver. God is my witness. I lie not in the Holy Ghost. I wrote my wife's name. Hey, what is her now? Why are you looking at me? And I sent it. Sorry. You know I love you. I sent it. I hope this will not be edited because, you know, people don't edit it. Okay? And please make sure you capture this in context. And then I sent it. He said, look, I am telling you, he gave me the advice that, look, pastors like you will do it. Christians like you will. Go to any Christian, they will advise you to do the same. So do it. His next door neighbor was a high-ranking senior police officer who deals with fraud. He took me to his next door neighbor. He called him out, and the wife too, I think the wife too is a police officer. He said, look at this lad. He said, this is what happened, and this is what I told him. So the police officer was saying, yeah, come on, do it. Yeah, just do it. So I did it. Then in the night, I went to kneel down to pray. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. You want to come on the pulpit and preach? Liar. You've broken the law. What do you want to minister to people? Meanwhile, I sent a letter. So I remember driving to the police headquarters. And I went there. I said, I want to talk to any police. Just give me any police. They said, what happened? I said, I got two speeding fines. I want to talk to somebody about it. That is there any way I can be favored? And the policewoman looked at me. And she was very nice, very pleasant, very pleasant. She said, well, you can go to court. The celebrities go to court. If you have the money. I knew the game was up. So the police wrote back again. And they wrote to my wife, you drove the car. Can you confirm that you drove it? So I took the letter and I confirmed that my wife didn't drive the car. I drove the car. Can you please have mercy on me? I sent it back. Within 4 weeks, letter came from police. Letter came from DVLA. They said I should surrender my license. My license has been revoked for breaking the law. God, where are you? Where are you, Lord? Excuse me, where was God when I was breaking the law? If I knew the law and I abided by the law, there was no way they would have written to me. And can I tell you the painful part? The first time I was caught speeding, we'll take this study next week. I don't want to take our time tonight. We'll go and look at the nitty-gritty. I just felt maybe I should share this. When what was I saying? The first time I was speeding, brethren, it was a Sunday. There was a young man who was suicidal, and I was running to go and pick him to get him to church. I didn't know I was speeding. On Smithdown Road, you know there's a speed camera there. In case you don't know the law, there's a speed camera there. I was running to go and pick this young man who was suicidal to get him to church on a Sunday morning. Vroom, vroom. Traffic light. Speed camera. I didn't know. Second time I was caught. We just got news that my father-in-law just died. I didn't know how to tell my wife because they rang me from Nigeria. I just told her, let's just go. I was driving all over the city. I didn't know when I was speeding. Boom, boom, Egbert Road. Speed camera catches me. I didn't mean to break the law. But excuse me. The law is the law. I'm wondering, maybe with hindsight, if I didn't lie the first time, maybe they would have showed me mercy. But I lied. Thank God I confessed. Now, there's a conflict here in this scripture. We'll see this more next week. Paul was brought before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is like the ruling council, the highest council. They brought him, it was a legal matter. They brought him. Paul, at that point, did something. He brought God into the equation. What did he say to the high priest? He didn't know at that point he was a high priest. Okay? He said what? God will strike you. How many of us have received bills from your lawyer? Or bills from water utilities. Or how many of us have received council tax? They just told you they've changed your band. God will strike all of you in the council. You introduce God into the picture. Right? You sit there to judge me according to the law. And do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? It was still a legal matter. Then somebody pointed his attention. Verse 4. In other words, do you know who you are talking to? Okay, you've brought God into this matter. The person who said you should be struck is a high priest. God's high priest. The equation changed. Verse 5, what happened? Look at what Paul said. We'll build on that next week, but he said, but then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. Then he now brought the scripture in. Exodus, I think it's Exodus 23 something. For what? It is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. What I wanted us to do, and what we'll do more next week, is that what do we do with leaders, rulers? According to the law, what does the law permit us to do with those in authority, our leaders? To curse them? To ask thunder to fire them? There's an interesting prayer I see people pray these days. Thunder fire you or something like that. That's what I want to leave us with. What should we do with our leaders and with the issue of leadership? If God permits, Jesus tarries, we'll build on that next week. But, sir, maybe you can tell us one thing, because I want us to close now. What do you think we can do? Let's don't bring the Bible in now, right? Let's start from a natural plane. What can we do with leaders according to the law?
We can.
Am I putting you on the spot? Maybe I should change my question. Okay, let's ask ourselves, how do leaders emerge?
It depends, basically,
right,
type
good.
Of government.
Okay, so let's say a normal government.
So if it's a
democracy. What's a normal government? The one that don't use gun to get there.
If it's a democratically elected government.
Democratically
elected
government. So how do leaders get there?
So they participate, they join a party.
They join a party, yes.
And then they go through the primaries.
Go through the primaries to put themselves forward to be
the candidate of the party.
To be the candidate of the party. And if they win the primaries.
Once they win the primary, they become a candidate.
They become the candidate.
From an aspirant.
Okay.
So they become an aspirant first.
Yes.
And then a candidate. And
right.
And they go to the main elections.
So they stand for elections. Who are the people who vote them in?
So at the primary level is the party members,
okay,
or delegates.
The party members, because they are also within the party structure.
Yes.
Okay.
And then once they emerge at the general elections,
then
the people, then...
The general public.
General public then votes.
They vote for them.
Yeah.
So you see the process. Now, we get to spiritual... We get to spiritual, we don't get involved with the process. When the process now presents to us two devils, we now start praying. And when we have two devils, people start getting over spiritual also. When one man of God will tell you, no, it's this devil you should choose. Thus said the Lord. Another man of God said, thus says the same Lord I heard. Is that other devil? We end up with confusion, chaos. If anything tonight, we will look in depth next week. Can we start thinking about how we can influence our own sphere and get involved? Because the only way we can really have a real strong voice is when we get involved right from the primaries. I'll leave it there. Who says you can't become a leader? Oh, politics is too dirty. If it's dirty, please get detergent and go and clean it. If something is dirty, are you going to keep talking about it? And talking about it will clean it? Come on, let's wake up. Let's pray. Let's pray. We'll look at this more in depth next week. Do you know the law regarding leaders and leadership? Is the law working for you or working against you? I pray right now, please pray that the Holy Spirit will. I sense what God is saying to somebody or some people, that this is a legal matter. Go and get informed. I sense the Spirit of God is saying there are legal loopholes. No law is perfect in its entirety. There can still be a loophole that the Spirit of God can expose to you and you can use to your advantage. Please, let's talk to the Lord. Are you facing any challenge right now? And when I say law, it could be the laws of your academic institution. It could be the laws of the community where you live. Or it could actually be the laws of the land itself. There are laws govern everything in this world we live in. Even our mere getting up and standing up, we are governed by the law of gravity. Holy Spirit, help us. Please pray. Talk to the Lord. I don't know. Something is coming to your heart to pray about an issue pertaining to you. It could even be the laws of relationship. If we violate these laws, they will work against us. It could actually even be the law of sowing and reaping. Have you sowed something and you are reaping right now? You can start changing what you are sowing. Holy Spirit, thank you for the dimension you led us tonight. I pray, open our eyes, show us what we need to do. You know the end from the beginning, Heavenly Father. There is nothing that is too difficult for you. We bring every challenge. We bring every lawful captive before you. Under the law, they should be captive. But your word says even the lawful captive shall be delivered. We pray tonight, Lord, whatever captivity we, your people, are in, the ones we are aware of, the ones we are not aware of, we ask, Lord, by the reason of your anointing that destroys yokes, that lifts burdens, let every such lawful captive yoke binding any one of us in this place today, let every such yoke be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Lord, let burdens be lifted to the glory of your name. Burdens, burdens, you are burdened. Heavy burdened, you are heavy laden. Cast your care upon the Lord, saith the Lord. Cast it, cast it. He knows the end from the beginning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct you. Father, thank you. Please pray this final prayer. Holy Spirit, just lead me. Lead me. Guide me. I need direction right now. Show me what to do. Just show me what to do, Lord. Show me what to do. Guide me. Guide me. It could even be your project. There are laws, brethren. There are laws. Guide me. Guide me. Teach me the way to go. Thank you, Lord. Let's begin to thank him for giving us direction. You've asked for direction. The Lord will direct you. The Lord will order your steps for his glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just quickly take the announcement.